Gamer.
What's up, fam? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast, episode 175. I'm your host, Johnny Samsonite. Joining me today is my buddy at BLP, Buttlord Primus, James Halliday. How's it going?
Nice. A flawless introduction. Loved it. I'm doing good. I just got back from Vegas. Actually, this was my first week back from Vegas, but I'm doing good. I've recovered enough of the whiplash of like coming back from a trip and then having to work for a short week, but it still felt like a long week.
Yeah, it was nice having that. Like I was off until Wednesday, so I had Thursday and Friday off. Or I had to work Thursday and Friday, which was kind of a rough. I'm with you. It was like, am I really here? Like, yeah. I am, kind of, but not really. How was Vegas, man? Was that super hot, or was it?
Yeah, it was in the hundreds for most of the time I was there. So, toasty. There.
Did you get some good pool time?
Yeah. We had about three solid pool days. We last day, we went out and got tattoos, though.
Nice. So what'd you get?
Check this out. It's right on top of it. It's an upside down little Pac-Man.
All right then.
Yeah, sweet. No, he's right side up when I'm standing up. She got a moon coming out of the water, and her stepmom got a ladybug, and they all look great. Mine looks like it's a half circle with an eyeball. Hard to not do an okay job at that.
But if you didn't have other tattoos, I would be making fun of you right now. That's got to be. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's probably why you did it. But
it was $10 flash, right? Like it was $10. So I walked.
Was it really?
Yeah, they were doing. It's a place called Coolsville, and they have like here's the $10 ones, here's the $20, $30, whatever. And we just walked in. We're like, yeah, let's do $10 flashes. And I was like, why not? Right, like I was laughing. I was like, I can now with the little guy, I can go to somewhere else, right? And be like, oh, throw on the three ghosts and a couple power pellets, right? And
yeah, it's bring the whole thing together.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I was just funny, like, man. Yeah, I'll do a Pac-Man. Why not?
Why not?
I did have the joke where I sat down into the chair and I asked if it hurts. Get a tattoo. and to audio listeners, I do have an entire like sleeve done up on my arm, so
yeah.
which was quite visible when I was sitting in 100 degree weather. I was definitely not wearing sleeves on my shirt.
Yeah, well, cool, man. I'm glad you guys had a good time. Did you lose any money?
About $60, but I mean, like, ooh. That was about everything I went in to gamble with, right? Like that's like, I was like, all right, I'll play some slots, and I think I put in a 50, and it went up a little bit, and then I lost it all, and then I just threw in a 10 for, I think I used the 10 very little, and then gave it to Chrissy. Chrissy won like $60, so
hey, breaking even.
Yeah,
yeah,
net,
like
net,
that
net deal.
Right. I'm glad you guys had a good trip. I don't think I mentioned this, but we were recording on Saturday, July 8th.
What? Saturday?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I thought I was wrong for a second.
I was like,
wait a minute.
Because we never record on Saturday, so it was more.
Yeah, we don't
frequently
do this, but.
What? What day?
You gotta do what you can when you can, right? So this is a little random, but it's when we had time to do it. And just to get through the lowdown. Or the rundown, or the, what do we call it? The spiel? John's, that's what we should call it, the spiel.
Yeah, the Samsonite spiel.
Samsonite spiel. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can hit us up at MNGamersPodcast on Twitter. You can email us podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 507-291-2991. You can follow us at mngamers.substack.com. Is that right? It's one of those. It's either mngamers.substack.com. Sounds right. And then, what else? I'm missing something, Chris. You're not Chris, you're James.
You did the Twitch?
Twitch. Twitch.tv/mostlynormalgamers is where we're streaming currently. And then you can catch the video on demand at youtube.com. And search for Mostly Normal Gamers, because it's Mostly Normal Gamers. I don't know how we got that on our YouTube. It's like Mostly Normal Gamers 6413 or something.
Nice.
And Guy's here. Do you want to say hi, Guy?
Hi.
He doesn't play games, but you know,
you don't play games. Here.
He can't hear you because of the headphones.
You got headphones. I see. So I'm
amused. We'll get you a pair of headphones, okay, Guy, and then you can join in on the conversation.
Yay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Until then, you got to write in.
Yeah.
I can just put my hand really close to yours and use this one.
Yeah, you could try that. Anyway, James, I could beat Zelda if I wanted to. I just got the final Sage and just still like get sidetracked with every time I go to do something, I get sidetracked with something else that I want to do, and it's, I don't know, but it's coming to a point where I think I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, like, no, I know what you're saying. There's definitely a point that I hit.
All the Gleoxes.
What?
We defeated all the Gleoxes.
Gleoxes, nice.
Yeah.
They're like those giant, they're giant beasts that look like dragons and flea-headed.
James knows what they are. He's the one that gave me the tip to use the Keese eyeballs.
Yeah.
To take them out.
They help.
We still get our butts kicked by the Lionel, though, man.
The Lionel.
Like zebra one.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The white manders are just such a pain in the butt. Speaking of Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, so on stream the other day, I was having a conversation and somebody was trying to tell me that I brought up the fact that like Breath of the Wild did what the Breath of the Wild did for the open world genre was quite phenomenal, and they're like, oh, what did they even do that's any different? And it's like, wait, really? But what you're explaining right now is like, you finish something, and then you look to the left, and there's like three other things that you could be doing. And they're not just like, oh, I have to do those things. It's like, oh shit, I want to check that. What's going on over there? And you want to check it out. And it's like their whole, they have a philosophy of the triangles, where it's just all of their scenery in the game is made up of different styled triangles. So whenever you're at something, you're on one of those triangles, it is blocking something, but it requires you to accomplish whatever it is, to move away from it, and thus opening up like the peaks and valleys so you can see more of the scenery behind it, and you see like other landmarks that are significant and interesting. And you're like, oh shit, what is that? Looks cool, right? And it's like, there's got to be treasure there, and everywhere is loaded with like something to find, even if it's a Korok seed or a piece of treasure or something like that, like a new weapon that, like, obviously the weapons aren't super significant, although Tears of the Kingdom did up that to the point where like, oh sweet, I found like the Wind Waker's boomerang or whatever. Yeah. Right, like I found, you can find special weapons, you can find special like armors and stuff like that, so there is actual significant treasure you can find throughout the game, rather than in Breath of the Wild. It was pretty bare bones, but
yeah, and it all happens like you were alluding to, like organically. It's not like a check quest where you get something and then it puts a dot where you need to go, and then you go to the dot and you do the thing. Like I was complaining to Guy today, like, because the dots that do appear are just where the quest originated, not like where you go. So then you have to like either problem solve, or I'm to the point now where I've done so many things that if I do something, if I can't figure it out pretty quickly, I'm like, I'm just going to look it up because I don't really need to spend another 120 hours on this game right now. So, it's fantastic, and you're 100% right, man. Like if Ubisoft could change their open world games to be more like this than the checklist, you know.
Yeah. And no visual diarrhea. You're not like sitting there with so much stuff cluttering your HUD with like, oh, here's this, here's your 16 list, like line list of things that you need to collect or do or whatever, right? Like the weird like arrows or bright lights pinging whatever you need to go to. Like you can set those, but you set those.
Yeah.
And you don't see them unless you're in your little like camera mode or whatever,
right? And even then sometimes you don't, man. I've started using those in the gloom, especially like, because if you don't even if you think something's right in front of you and you know you're just going to walk right towards it, like, it, the path is not always a straight line, you know what I mean? So you can easily get sidetracked. But I do want them to bring back the hook shot eventually, not necessarily in this game, but I do think that's one thing that's definitely missing from the game, and I think they could incorporate it even if they continue making the games like this. Yeah. And then I do think the combat's pretty weak, man. It's not, I mean, that's never been the point of Zelda, especially now that it is what it is now. But I do think it could use some work.
Oh, for sure. What do you think? I think that those are absolutely perfect points. I think the ascend ability in this game was pretty damn close to a hookshot as far as I'm concerned. Like, I did not, going into this game, I did not think that ascend would be my favorite ability I'd be using throughout the game, and it was. Like, might not have been the one I used the most, but it was definitely my favorite. I was always on the... As soon as I started to realize how, like, cheesy it is, how, like, you can really manipulate the world and even enemies with it, I started utilizing it in every way possible. Whereas, like, the other abilities, like, they worked and all that sort of stuff, and I liked them, but, like, I would use, like, Ultra Hand constantly, because you always needed to use Ultra Hand, but Ascend was, like, my favorite to use.
It is awesome, dude. How many times in the other game, like, did you feel, and this still happens in this game, where if it's, you'll, and I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to get frustrated, because most of the things that I have to do, like, I end up encountering the environment in some way that's not necessarily pleasant. So, like, I'll start climbing, and then it'll start raining. And then I'll start slipping. And then you put your no-slip gear on, but it's not, like, completely slip-proof. It's just, like, slightly helps resistance. You slip less.
Yeah.
So the guy always calls it the phasing ability. So I've just... I don't even... The ascend. Ascend ability is a lifesaver, man. That's huge. So what I'm so glad they came up with that.
What a word for your kid to know, phasing.
Yeah. Dude, he's... he's all about that STEM life. So anyway, I'm stoked to finish it. We should maybe do a spoiler cast if, you know, you got a spare 6 hours to kill that we could, because I'm sure we could spend a ton of time talking about it.
Oh, for sure. But being finished Tears of the Kingdom myself, not finished, but like I've completed the storyline, I've rolled credits. I was doing a lot of like cleanup stuff, but then other stuff came out, like Final Fantasy 16, which I've been playing.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
I want to hear about it.
I'm not sure if I'm really hoping we don't stay with this combat system for every game, like, going forward. It is very good. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the kind of system that I'm not super... I don't know. I'm just not super keen on the way it, like... there's a lot of combos, right? And it's, like, a lot of, like, specific button pushing and dodging at the exact times and stuff. And I'm fine with the dodge and whatnot. And they do give you a ring that literally will dodge for you. You don't have to do that. But there is, like, their easy mode is just cheat rings that they start the player with if you, like, are struggling and you want to, like, bypass it. I just do wish there was some other ways that we could have played it. I really liked Final Fantasy VII Remake's battle system. I thought that was perfect.
Totally agree.
That is exactly what I want Final Fantasy from now on to be. Or, like, at least variations on that. And this definitely feels a little more like high-action combo Bayonetta Devil May Cry-style combat that I tend to get a little more bored with the longer it goes on. And some of these boss fights that you're doing are pretty, intense, right? Like, it's like, I'm going for, like, a good, like, several minutes, and I look over, it's like, I haven't even done a quarter of his health, and this is probably just his first health bar. And, like, I'm like, oh, fuck. But, like, then there's, like, these cinematic moments in the game that are so fucking cool that I'm losing my shit over. I'm like, this is so cool, I can't wait, like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm really liking it. I think a lot of it has to do with, like, those big story moments. Also, your main character is like tied to the icon or the summon or whatever of Ifrit, which is in Final Fantasy, has always been my favorite summon. I know a lot of people are like, I don't give a shit about Ifrit, but I'm like, I'm loving it because I was like, I've always loved his designs, and this Ifrit is like, kind of looks like Godzilla meets a fire demon, and I'm loving it. So I'm just enjoying a lot of it. The characters are interesting, fun. I like the it's still very Game of Thronesy over more so than other Final Fantasies, which tend to have a lot of characters that I don't know. There's like the joke character in Final Fantasies a lot of the time, or there's like the cutesy character, right? And they just have like very real people, like, just downtrodden and not like the most jokey character I've run into is a Moogle, or is a little Moogle, and his name's Nectar, and it just like hangs out around the base, and it's like, it's cool. It doesn't have a voice, it only has Moogle talk, which is like,
yeah.
And it's like, fuck, like everybody else talks, just give him a voice, like, so, I don't care.
Like, even so, it doesn't have any like, what do you want to say, like, lightheartedness to it?
Yeah, really? It's really dark. Like, there is some lighthearted, like your guy will say, like, quips and stuff like that. Clive is the main character. Like, I fought an Ahriman, which in Final Fantasy lore is a giant flying eyeball. It was a pain in the ass to fight. I killed it. And after he, like, defeats it, you, like, whatever, I get all my spoils, and, like, that closes down, and Clive's like, I bet you didn't see that coming. And it was just like, oh, I get it. It's an eyeball. But it's not like, there's nobody, like, no, like the, if you weren't paying attention, you would have just not heard him say that, right? Like,
oh,
yeah. It's just, it's one of those little asides, right? And so it's like, oh, I gotta pay attention. Maybe make some more quips like this. And he just has, like, those sort of, like, dry one-liners that are funny, genuinely funny, but it's just like, I really am probably missing a lot of them because I'm like sweating after these intense fights and just like not paying attention, right? So
does it do like ranks, like a action game, like A rank, S rank, and that kind of thing?
No, so the fights, they don't do that. But oh, thank God. There are monsters that have those ranks attached to them for whatever reason. Like, I guess that's how tough they are or whatever. Okay. Because I fought a few rank C's and rank B monsters, right? But,
yeah,
like, they have, like, this, like, hey, this wild monster has been seen in this area, so you can fast travel to that area, run around that area trying to find it. Oh, I found it, and then you go fight it, and you can get some good rewards from it and stuff like that, rather than just focusing on, like, a bunch of mini enemies. There's another really cool system. It's got, like, a level replay system that I've tried one level, and it's cool because, like, you can still gain experience and collect items. So, if you wanted to, you could just, like, oh, I need only a little bit more experience. I can go replay a certain level and just battle the guys. They don't give you as much experience as the real fights, but if, like, you just need a little bit, or I need to collect a certain amount of money or whatever. And so, it's a kind of a nice little, like, I'll just replay a mission. And
right on.
And do it. So
how are the cinematics? I was talking to one of my buddies today, and he was like, yeah, I don't want to play it because he didn't really like the combat. He played the demo. I think I will play the demo before I buy it, because now I'm like kind of on the fence about it. But he's like, yeah, I don't really want to watch these like insanely long cutscenes.
The cinematics, so there are like dialogue scenes, and then there are cinematic scenes. And the cinematic scenes have really dynamic characters and models and stuff like that. Stuff you'd typically see. But then the dialogue scenes are just, like, talking heads, essentially. But, like, it does cut to their bodies. But, like, the people are... I'll stand up because we got cameras. And they're, like, their hands are like this the whole time. like okay. It's just, like, you're, like, do you have any personality? Like, for the audio listeners, my hands were pretty damn rigid and straight. And it just looks like a... They were in T-pose, and they just brought their arms by their sides.
wait. Take their arms down a little bit.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my god, like, I don't know, like, there are some moments, and, like, a lot of the, like, dialogue is genuinely, like, it's well written, But at the same time, it's like when you can only hear Clive like talk about some mundane mission for so long before you're like, I get it. I just got to go collect this item. Like, just let me go and get to the part where we agree. I'm going to go into the dangerous forest and grab that item and come back.
And you're going to stay here.
Yeah.
Are they skippable or?
Yeah, you can just push triangle and you just like push X and like the dialogue cuts to the next dialogue line. Right?
Gotcha.
And it does start getting jarring because like each dialogue, like obviously is like tied to like maybe a scene shift or whatever, so it's like you'll be like flicking back and forth from people's heads, or sometimes like the person will have moved forward at that certain part, so like they suddenly jerk forward and stuff. So there's some weird, when you're skipping dialogue, there's some real weird visuals. And you can also skip all cutscenes in the game, right? So you just hold triangle, does the like,
yeah,
fills the little circle around it, and then you skip it.
Yeah, you probably don't want to do that your first time through, though.
No, obviously not. But it is pretty, like, the cinematics, the actual cinematics, they're fucking great. Like, it is intense. Like, the end of that first demo is like, holy shit, what's happening? I need to play more. And there's quite a few moments in the end of that demo that was just like, going forward, I can't wait, like, to play more. And as I've played more, it's like, there's some moments that I'm like, this is pretty damn cool. There is some anime-ass moments where it's just you know, the classic, like, it almost feels Kojima-y, where it's like, there's like these weird dead pauses where like characters are looking at each other and then like they'll say something, or I don't know. There's just those moments that Kojima likes to stick in his...
Yeah.
His games, it kind of has that tone of it. But other than that, the story's fine. I think the biggest problem is like the lack of people of color. And I think I know why, but the reason is pretty stupid. So this game heavily follows a storyline about slavery.
Oh.
And your character is a slave because he has the ability to cast magic. And so all the, like, people who can cast magic get branded and put into slavery. And, so, it's maybe their idea of not wanting, people of color in it, is they didn't want some, like, a person of color to be a slave and or have that context, or just have the trope of them. Like, just mix and match. I don't know. Like, you could have done that. Like, there's... You're probably more at fault excluding them altogether than you are at just, like, splicing it all together. Like, them being like, we wanted this to be, like, realistic Eastern European, like, medieval era. It's like, we have giant monsters, we have magic, we have crystals. Like, there's... Already, this doesn't feel like that. This just feels like Game of Thrones. And there are people of color in Game of Thrones, so just fucking do it. Like, why aren't... I don't know. It seemed like a real weird cop-out. It almost felt like they're like, this is gonna be iffy, let's just not do that. Let's not have any of them.
That'll probably just be easier to just avoid it than to navigate the difficulty of including it. Yeah, I mean, that's not a good excuse, but it's an excuse.
Yeah, it's not a good... Like I said, it's just... It is, like, a little bit weird where you're looking around, you're like, a lot of fucking white people again.
I'm not sure I should be here. Yeah, how far into it are you?
So the game, using the little app that I told you about the other day, I've been using this game called Game Tracker.
Thanks for that, by the way, because it is handy.
I think I heard about it on Kinda Funny, and I was just like, somebody mentioned they use it, and I was like, oh, I could use a new device. So it's got how long is the game's kind of features in it, which I think is... great. I love anything that's going to tell me how long I'm going to be invested into it. So the story is roughly 34 hours. Collecting all the collectibles will make it about 55 hours. And if you want to 100% complete it, you're looking about 70 hours.
Oh, okay. That's not so bad.
I feel like I'm maybe 20 hours into the game. But I have been doing, like, every side quest and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, it's hard not to. If it's anything like Final Fantasy VII Remake, man, like, I just, I don't know, I felt compelled to do almost everything in there.
Absolutely.
If I came across it, so.
Yeah, I do have that sort of, like, I gotta do this, don't I? Whatever, I'm here, I might as well do it now, it's gonna be a lot more of a hassle later if I need to collect them all. Or if like, one of the trophies is do all of the side quests. It's just going to be a more of a burden for me to do all of the side quests.
Right, exactly.
And you do get experience and stuff like that more so than just fighting wild monsters. So I was like, I might as well just do the side quest.
Yeah, but I downloaded that Wavetail game that I was telling you about. I haven't played it yet, but that's another reason I'm kind of stoked about getting done with Zelda so that I can
jump into something new.
Yeah, I don't know if you've watched but for those listening out there, the art style reminds me of like a Japanese painting, that wave crashing. Yes, exactly. It looks like that.
And Hosaka's The Wave.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, art degree.
Yeah, art nerd, right person to go to. Yeah, and I'm kind of stoked about that. To me, like, it's weird when you get into playing a game for so long, man. I love it, and I could just keep playing it. I can see why you could literally exist in that game forever. Like, you could just keep doing stuff all the time and just keep going and keep going. And I could probably do that, but I'm not gonna. I gotta do something else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what else you been up with? What are you streaming these days?
I've been playing Final Fantasy IX on stream on my Monday or my Tuesday streams. But I've been drawing on stream a lot. So
I think Wednesdays I knew that.
I've been drawing, and then Thursdays I've been replaying Spider-Man, getting ready for Spider-Man 2.
Oh yeah, I was stoked, dude, when I downloaded that app. I started looking. I was like, oh, I guess I've totally forgot that's coming out this year.
It's such a good app.
It is a good app. Oh, Guy has my phone. Guy, can you bring me my phone, dude?
Yeah, why? Thank you. Yeah, so, like, in the app, you can select, the games that you're looking forward to, and when you wishlist them, they go into this, a group, essentially, in it. And it shows you the most recent game that's on your list and how many days it will be until it comes out. And I love that feature alone, just because it helps me, like, oh, what's the next game coming out? And it's like, maybe it was like some indie game that I forgot about, but I did like. I can have that's right at the forefront saying, oh, it's coming out in 2 weeks. I was like, oh, shit, like, oh. There we go. That's the game I should be looking at picking up rather than just browsing through, like, I don't know, like these online stores or whatever, like PlayStation store, and being like, oh, well, maybe I should buy a game or maybe I should do this. It's like, this will help me prioritize what I want. And if it's already out, it goes in an already out category. And when you're going to, like, select the games, you can even search them by showcases that have been coming out. Like,
yeah, that's what I've been doing, because I haven't...
Showcase, it's like all of the games there. It's like, oh, this is perfect. I just select the games that impressed me, and I add them to my wish list. And it's It's called Game Track, right? It's just Game Track?
Yeah.
It's a great little... I don't pay for it, but I think the payment is, like, you get more options for... maybe $2 a month or something like that.
It's like $1.50, yeah.
Yeah, like, so maybe if I still love it in, like, I don't know, like a month or two, I'll shell out the $2 just to see if the features are worth it. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not using any of the features, and I'm using it a heck of a lot more than I use GG.
Yeah, and it's more, I'm not going to say it's more user-friendly. I just like the interface a little bit better.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you go into your wish list, it tells you how long before each game comes out. Speaking of which, like, for instance, Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Brothers Wonder come out on the same day.
Yeah.
So, which I just find interesting. And then I can't believe we still don't have a date for Skate Story, Angerfoot, Gunbrella, and Lucky Squire.
I know.
I'm kind of irritated about that.
And Silk Song. 12 days for Pikmin 4, though.
Yeah.
I know. Silk Song's next year, though. They said that it's going to be next year. Yeah.
Oh, I've heard that before.
I'm pretty sure they said that. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, on this app, it's still coming, or says it's coming this year, but...
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just not updated. But to your point about the games, like the showcases, like it's so cool that you can just go in there, and because I didn't get to watch all of them, and so you can just go into like the Xbox showcase and look at it. Because you guys were talking about that game, South of Midnight, so then I just added that to a list, and I don't know. It's pretty cool.
And when you click on the games, like, themselves, it brings up their, if they're out, it'll bring up their reviews. It'll have a bunch of review links and, like, little blurbs. So, like, say somebody from IGN wrote something, they'll have, like, a little, like, short blurb about it. But if you click on it, it takes you to the full article. They've got, like, the aggregate scores, the user aggregate scores, user reviews. You can scroll down further, and it's got, like, oh, here's all the videos and trailers for it. And so you're like, oh, shit. Like, if I miss something, I can go check that or watch the most latest trailer or something. And then they've got, like, a list of like games, similar games, and other games that are in that series. It's just such a beautiful little one-stop shop for, like, what's coming out soon? What have I been interested in? What events happened that I missed and want to just catch up quickly on the games? Like, I can literally go... Okay, I've seen this game. I'm not interested. Not interested. Oh, what is this? I've never even heard of it. Click on it. Watch the trailer. Oh, maybe I am interested in this. Save it to my wish list, and it'll update you for when it's coming out. So it's like, I'm stoked with this little app.
Yeah, it's cool, man. And it's nice to keep track of that kind of stuff, because sometimes it stresses me out if I like think I'm falling behind on a game or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
And this. Keeps me from doing that, because I noticed that Final Fantasy 16 is out, and then the next game I'm actually looking forward to is like not coming out for quite some time, so
yeah,
I can chill out a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, man. Did you? I hate to pull a short episode on everyone since it's been a couple weeks so we've recorded, but as you can probably tell from the background noise, I'm a bit distracted also, so it's hard to keep track of what's going on, and I appreciate you taking the time today, James, but why don't we do a couple of these trivias, and then we'll call it a day.
Heck yes, let's do it.
Ooh, the first Final Fantasy was created while developer Square was nearing bankruptcy. The director, Hironobu Sakaguchi, thinking the game would be his last, gave the series its name. It was not his Final Fantasy. Over two decades later, the series is still going strong. What was the name of the final boss?
Of Final Fantasy 1?
Yeah.
Chaos.
Ah, dang, dude. You're good at
Golbez. He was originally Golbez or something like that, yeah.
Have you played that one?
Yep.
Did you know that background story?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's why they got the game. Like, he was basically, that was their Hail Mary. They tried making a whole bunch of, like, NES games and Nintendo games or whatnot, and it wasn't going anywhere, and they weren't hitting, and I think they were just trying to copy too much of what other game developers were doing.
Yeah,
I think they had some shmups and stuff like that, and eventually they're like, well, why don't we try and make a game that's kind of like D&D or whatever, and so that's what Final Fantasy was supposed to be, and it was like they put it out not expecting much, and it blew up. Oh, yeah.
And then they merged with... How did Square Enix come about? Okay.
Well, it was Squaresoft originally.
Yeah, that's right.
Around Final Fantasy X. I think Final Fantasy X was the last Squaresoft Final Fantasy. And then they merged with
Enix.
And since then, like, they've been doing every kind of RPG imaginable.
Crazy. All these years later, here we are on 16.
I still get caught up saying Squaresoft every once in a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I usually just say Square, like forgetting that they ever existed by themselves. So
It's so funny, yeah.
Yeah. What two games comprise the Portmanteau I don't even know that word. Portmanteau? I'm going to have to...
Isn't that like a nickname or something like that?
I think
that,
it's like a combination. It must mean the combination of two different words. Metroidvania, describing a subtype of the action-adventure genre. We already know this one.
Metroid and Castlevania?
Yes. But we did learn a new word, and that word is portmanteau. I'm surprised you don't hear that one up there, James.
I've heard the word. I've always, yeah, it was just assumed it was like a common colloquial term for just another name for something, right?
Yeah.
But maybe there's probably a much better, more eloquent definition out there.
It's also a large trunk or a suitcase.
Oh.
Or a word blending the sounds of two combining meanings of two others.
Or a delivery man's appendage, a digit at the bottom of his foot.
Yeah. Did you know that motel is a portmanteau of portmanteau? I'm sure.
Mobile hotel?
Or... No, motor and hotel.
Motor hotel.
Okay. Who knew that? Yeah. I still don't understand it, but okay.
That it's because motels are literally, like, the idea is, like, people drive up to the door, they walk in, and then they're in their room, and then they leave, get into their car, and then they leave, whereas a hotel is more of, like, a experience. You walk into a building, you go up to your room through the inside of it. Gotcha. It's like an apartment building, right? So the idea was it was a quick and dirty hotel where you didn't have to do the... all the other shit. You just drive up and go.
Portmanteau. That's how it's pronounced.
Ah.
Created in 1980, Missile Command was popular and successful at arcades in the mid-90s. Ports of the arcade and remakes have sold millions of units worldwide. What is the object of the game?
Yeah! Missile Command, aren't you trying to shoot down missiles? They're landing at
shoot down incoming aircraft, destroy the enemy cities, save the princess, defend the cities.
Jesus, there's a lot more to these games than I thought.
No, you gotta pick one. A, shoot down the incoming aircraft. B, destroy the enemy cities. C, save the princess. D, defend the cities.
I wanna say...
What are you talking about?
It's either shoot down enemy aircraft or defend the cities.
Defend the cities.
Yeah, because I thought, like, when I think of it, I see, like, the little bases that you have to, I guess they're cities, that you have to defend. But maybe I'd have to look up Missile Command again. So a good chance I'm thinking it's something else. I'd never played a ton of, I thought they were bases, but yeah, they do kind of have a silhouette of a city. Yeah. All right, cool.
Ron Gilbert and Tim Schafer created The Secret of Monkey Island in 1990. I didn't know Tim Schafer created it. The first in a series of point-and-click adventure games set in the fictional version of the Caribbean during the Age of Piracy. But what is the name of the mighty pirate protagonist of the game?
Oh, I do not know this. I never played Monkey Island games.
Me neither. Guybrush Threepwood.
That's his name?
Yep, that's his name.
That's quite the name.
Guybrush Threepwood. Okay, I want to see if there's... Yeah, it's named after you, dude. What? Yeah.
Named after a fearsome pirate.
All right, one more. The long-running series Ultima falls into which gaming genre?
RPG or adventure?
RPG.
Adventure. Okay, really? Okay, perfect.
I've never heard of Ultima. I don't know what that is.
It's like it's like one of the first attempts at making like a D&D-based game.
Is it still going? I'm
pretty sure. I believe so. Cool. I believe there are people that still play Ultima.
Did you ever see those games and you're just like, who plays this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people play Ultima. It's probably not that slim, but anyway. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, James, for joining us. I apologize for the background noise and, distractions that I've had during this short episode here, but I appreciate you bearing with me. And, if people want to catch you, James, where can they find you at?
You can find me I stream quite regularly at twitch.tv/BLP Entertainment. And you can find me on my social medias at ButLordPrimus. That is including the new Threads by Instagram. It is just like Twitter without the bots and the ads yet. They're coming. We know they're coming. I don't know what anybody's... It's also, like, I was joking at the top of the show, being... all the people from Instagram are now on Threads, and they're still figuring out how to tweet for the first time, and yeah. It's pretty rough out there right now. But if you're on Threads, please add me. I need more friends. I have, like... I don't have a lot of followers on Twitter to begin with, but... I need to feel a little bit more better about myself now.
Is it the same app as Instagram? Is it within the Instagram app?
No, which is really stupid.
Oh, so I'd have to download another app?
You have to download another app.
James, as much as I would love to follow you, I don't need another social media app on my phone. I'll think, how about this? I'll give it some thought.
Give it some thought. It's super easy to sign up if you've got Instagram.
Yeah.
Because you literally just use your Instagram.
It's weird how they make social media that way. It's almost like they're stealing your data and using it for something and not give you any of the profits of your information.
I mean, at least we're, like, with Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing, at least you're giving it to one person, one group, rather than, like, 10 different groups by having, like, 10 different social media accounts.
Good point. Good point. you can find the podcast at MN Gamers Podcast. You can find me at Johnny Samsonite. James, no, you're James. Angie,
James.
At Stellar Smalls. Chris at VG Occasion. You can email us podcast at mostlynormalgamers.com. Send us a voicemail or text 507-291-2991. Video on demand on Twitter, or not Twitter, the other thing, YouTube, if you just search for Mostly Normal Gamers. And twitch.tv/mostlynormalgamers. You can find us there too. And I think that's everything.
Perfect.
And with that,
yeah,
we'll call it a day. Bye, all.
Bye-bye.